Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking to you about Eisenmenger syndrome. And if you want to follow along with written notes on this topic, you can follow along at zerotofinals.com/Eisenmenger syndrome or in the cardiology section of the Zero to Finals pediatrics book. So let's get straight into it. Eisenmenger syndrome occurs when blood can flow from the right side of the heart to the left side of the heart across a structural heart lesion. When blood flows from the right side to the left side of the heart, it bypasses the lungs, allowing deoxygenated blood to flow into the systemic circulation. There are three underlying lesions that can result in Eisenmenger syndrome, and these are atrial septal defect, ventricular septal defect, and patent ductus arteriosus. Eisenmenger syndrome can develop after 1 to 2 years with large defects in the heart, or in adulthood when there's a small defect. It can develop more quickly during pregnancy, so women with a history of having a hole in the heart need to have an echocardiogram and need to be closely monitored by a cardiologist during pregnancy. It's worth being very familiar and understanding the pathophysiology of Eisenmenger syndrome. Normally, when there's a septal defect between the two sides of the heart, whether this is an atrial septal defect or a ventricular septal defect or even a patent ductus arteriosus, blood will flow from the left side of the heart to the right. And this is because the pressure in the left side of the heart is greater than the pressure in the right side of the heart. Remember, the left ventricle has to pump blood through the entire body, whereas the right ventricle simply has to fill the lungs. A left-to-right shunt means that blood still travels to the lungs and gets oxygenated, so the patient does not become cyanotic. Over time, the extra blood that's flowing to the right side of the heart and to the lungs increases the pressure in the pulmonary vessels, and this leads to pulmonary hypertension. When the pulmonary pressure exceeds the systemic pressure, blood begins to flow from the right side of the heart to the left side across the septal defect, and this is called a right-to-left shunt. Essentially, it becomes easier for the right side of the heart to pump blood across the defect into the left side of the heart compared with pumping the blood into the lungs because the pulmonary pressure is so high. This means that deoxygenated blood bypasses the lungs and enters the body, and this causes cyanosis. Cyanosis refers to the blue discoloration of skin relating to low levels of oxygen in the blood. The bone marrow will respond to low oxygen saturations by producing more red blood cells and hemoglobin in order to increase the oxygen carrying capacity of the blood. And this leads to polycythemia, which is a high concentration of hemoglobin in the blood. Polycythemia gives patients a plethoric complexion. A high concentration of red cells and hemoglobin make the blood more viscous, which makes patients more prone to thrombus formation or blood clot formation. So what are the examination findings? Examination findings associated with pulmonary hypertension are a right ventricular heave, which is the right ventricle contracting forcefully against increased pressure in the lungs, a loud P2 or second heart sound coming from the forceful closure of the pulmonary valve, a raised JVP, and peripheral edema. Examination findings that are related to the underlying septal defect depend on what type of defect there is. An atrial septal defect will give a mid-systolic crescendo-decrescendo murmur loudest at the upper left sternal border. A ventricular septal defect will give a pansystolic murmur, which is loudest at the left lower sternal border. A patent ductus arteriosus will give a continuous crescendo-decrescendo machinery murmur. And having an underlying septal defect may also cause arrhythmias, so the patient may have an irregular pulse. There are also examination findings related to the right-to-left shunt and the chronic hypoxia. And this may be cyanosis, finger clubbing, dyspnea or shortness of breath, and a plethoric complexion, which is a red complexion related to the polycythemia, or the very raised hemoglobin count. So what's the prognosis? Well, Eisenmenger syndrome reduces life expectancy by around 20 years compared to healthy individuals. The main causes of death are heart failure, infection, thromboembolism, and hemorrhage. The mortality rate can be very high in pregnancy of up to 50%. So what's the management of Eisenmenger syndrome? Ideally, the underlying defect should be managed optimally and corrected surgically to prevent the condition from developing in the first place. Once the pulmonary pressure has got high enough to cause Eisenmenger syndrome, it's not possible to medically reverse the condition. The only definitive treatment once this has occurred is a heart-lung transplant. However, this also has a high mortality rate. Patients with Eisenmenger syndrome will need close follow-up by a specialist. Medical management involves oxygen to help manage symptoms. However, this does not affect overall outcomes. Treatment of pulmonary hypertension, for example, with sildenafil. Treatment of any arrhythmias. Treatment of polycythemia with venesection, which means removing parts of the patient's blood in order to reduce their hemoglobin count. Prevention and treatment of thrombosis or blood clots from forming using anticoagulation. And prevention of infective endocarditis using prophylactic antibiotics if they're undergoing any surgical procedures. Thanks for listening to this episode on Eisenmenger syndrome. A big thank you to Harry Watchman for perfectly editing the podcast. If you found the podcast helpful and you want written notes on this topic and all the other topics, head over to Amazon and pick up a copy of the Zero to Finals Pediatrics book. You can also find full audiobook versions of the Zero to Finals books, which are available on Audible. You can also find notes, illustrations, videos, and questions completely free on the Zero to Finals website at zerotofinals.com. And I hope you tune in for the next episode where we'll be talking about coarctation of the aorta.